This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Iran deal from 2015, formerly known as the JCPOA, where is it? I ask Andrea Stricker of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. Importantly, Andrea will help us on this. She is the Nonproliferation and Biodefense Program Deputy Director, Research Fellow at the Foundation. Andrea, very good evening to you. The word stalled was used in a Wall Street Journal report on the Iran deal. I've heard this on again, off again for weeks, for months. Sometimes I use the metaphor of Dracula. Has it got a wood stake in it, or have they pulled the wood stake out? So stalled as of these last days. Has that changed in any moment in the last 96 hours? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. Great to be here. Well, it sounds like the deal talks are still going on. Iran typically draws out the talks and keeps circling back to various issues that it wants to renegotiate. The latest reported in the Wall Street Journal is that Iran is demanding guarantees that it will continue to earn revenue under a revived JCPOA nuclear deal, even if a future Republican Congress or president would pull the U.S. back out. I understand there are reportedly numerous guarantees on the table that range from technical steps to assure Iran could reinstall its nuclear enrichment centrifuges more quickly if the U.S. would back out, even sell its enriched uranium stockpile for money instead of giving it to Russia for safekeeping, or these reported grace periods for companies to wind down business with Iran if Washington would pull back out. And I think one of the most alarming guarantees that we've heard is European individuals and entities could be able to do business with entities affiliated with the Iranian Islamic Revolutionary Guard or the IRGC, as long as those entities are not on U.S. sanctions lists. And that would essentially mean that there'd be funneling money to IRGC entities, but we would turn a blind eye to it. And that would seriously undermine our U.S. secondary sanctions.
Let me see if I understand. Iran wants guarantees that it will get its cash, its money, no matter who is in the White House. Who will guarantee? What transnational organization can guarantee such a thing to make America pay up?
They really can't make these guarantees. They're not in a position to do so. I've heard reports of 3 years, even 1 year, to wind down business deals by European companies. That seems to be an impossible promise unless it were codified into U.S. legislation. And we know U.S. legislation is not going to happen given opposition in Congress by senior Democrats. So I think short of the European Union pledging some kind of compensation to Iran, I just don't see how the administration can make those guarantees in good faith.
We come to a complication in these last days. The attempted assassination of an esteemed novelist speaking in Western New York. I refer to Salman Rushdie. The explanation so far is that it has nothing to do with Iran, says Iran. I do not follow this as a detective. I follow it as reading the political tea leaves. This appears to be a setback for the ambition of the Biden administration to reawaken JCPOA. Is it a setback, or is this something that will be forgotten in these lengthy negotiations?
I fear it's going to be forgotten. We should point out that the gentleman who committed the attack may have been acting on coordination with the IRGC. Those are the initial reports that there was some sort of contact. That implies that there could be foreknowledge at the very least, potentially culpability of the Iranian security establishment. And I think it's disturbing that U.S. authorities haven't released more information about this supposed contact and have to wonder if they're being told to keep these bad optics away with the talks going on in Vienna. And it's worth noting that under the Vienna negotiations, we plan to give the regime access to billions of dollars to only augment this kind of behavior, which strikes me as kind of schizophrenic policy, to say the least.
The Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, is quoted as having said that after the Rushdie attack, the Iranian government's incitement of violence is despicable. Now, that isn't a direct link like a bloody hand, but it is true that for decades, Iran has made very clear that it wants Rushdie murdered. So that is not enough to walk away from a deal with a regime that wants one of the most famous novelists now alive? to be murdered? That's not enough to your understanding?
Well, exactly. And one wonders what is enough for them to consider this to be a bad policy and to stop. We also have several former U.S. officials requiring Secret Service protection against Iran-backed assassination attempts. Former National Security Advisor John Bolton, there was just an indictment released targeting an Iranian who is still at large in Iran, but he was trying to find a willing assassin here in the United States to take out Mr. Bolton. And former Secretary of State Pompeo is a target, I believe, former Secretary of Defense Esper. And so it just makes no sense. We also have reports that they're attempting to do surveillance against think tank experts. And they've made numerous threats against my own group, FDD, and our experts. So on the one hand, we're offering to give these folks billions to continue these kinds of plots. And it makes little policy sense.
I've spoken with John Bolton, Ambassador Bolton, about this report. And he is witty in response, ironic, saying only 300,000. However, it cannot be a good thing that a man who has served the country is under threat, and that threat continues, just as Salman Rushdie is under threat, a man who has served all literature. Now, Andrea, you have written cogently of the IAEA and its open investigation into facts on the ground of radiation material found in 2019, I believe, and before that, that needs to be explained. Is that investigation still open, even in the European final offer? Does that go forward?
So the Wall Street Journal reported last week that the European Union has proposed to link the closure of this separate IAEA safeguards investigation that's related to Iran's non-compliance with the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, its failure to declare where it's making nuclear material or using it. They're linking it with the re-implementation of the JCPOA. So the world powers would offer to close the IAEA's investigation by a vote in the IAEA Board of Governors and request that the Director General of the IAEA, Rafael Grossi, no longer report on these issues and no longer investigate them. This is alarming because in 2015, in order to pave the way for the JCPOA's original implementation, the board voted to close the IAEA's probe that had run from 2002 to 2015 into the possible military nature of Iran's program. Even though Tehran was supposed to cooperate then and provide truthful answers and did not. So I would be very surprised if Washington and the Europeans really force a showdown over this issue when they can just sweep it under the rug again and have the deal re-implemented.
Just in case I thought this was getting too simple, we now go to the Russians. Within these last days, hours really, a significant Russian official has tweeted, his name is Ulyanov, "The final result depends on how the U.S. reacts to the last Iranian reasonable suggestions." Now, the U.S. is in a proxy war with the Russian Federation. All of NATO is. Does Russia figure into this final decision-making about the Iran deal? Is Russia on the other side of the table, either in person or in communication?
Russia is doing the bulk of the negotiating, and believe it or not, since they're invading Ukraine and we're trying to penalize them, we're trusting them to lead the talks along with the European Union. And Russia's always been a Janus-faced troublemaker on the world stage, but I think its true nature has been revealed. So if Russia is saying, take this deal, it's great, we should be cautious that we are headed for a disaster. And I think it's good to remind listeners that Moscow held up the talks earlier this year to obtain written guarantees that it would be able to protect its business interests in Iran, despite the sanctions over Ukraine. And it obtained those guarantees, shockingly enough, from the State Department. And they stand to earn more than $10 billion for nuclear projects in Iran. And then there's also fear they try to use de-sanctioned, unlisted Iranian banks removed from the U.S. sanctions to launder money for other needs as a sanctions evasion hub. So just another example of our schizophrenic U.S. policy.
Final question, and it doesn't have an answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway, because there might be some indication. Does the Supreme Leader want a deal, Andrea? Is this all this noise about dragging this out? Is that the end game, to continue to drag it out? We have less than a minute.
That is the question on the table. I believe that the Iranian negotiators are trying to present him with the best deal possible, but he is in no hurry to conclude one. If the deal gets too sweet with so many concessions, he may go for it. But I think he would prefer to continue progressing their nuclear program, fortifying their resistance economy, and not have to make a deal with the West if he can. But again, it's getting to be too sweet of a deal in Vienna, and he may just go for it. We will have to see.
Andrea Stricker is the Nonproliferation and Biodefense Program Deputy Director at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,